Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11. It's a very simple message today. I hope it is very understandable for you, and I hope it gives you great comfort and confidence to approach the Lord Jesus Christ for what he said here. Listen to these words in Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Jesus says this, it's part of his sermon. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. That's the title of today's message. Ask, seek, and knock. Now, there's an obvious need for us to ask, to seek, and to knock, since the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us to ask, seek, and to knock. Isn't there? How great must our need be if we need to be told to ask and to seek and to knock? And also we see here that our need is only met when we ask and when we seek and we knock. And we also see in these verses, as we're going to explore in just a moment here, that our need is actually only met in the answer God gives. If we ask God for something and he gives it to us, gives us an answer, then it's his answer that is what we need, isn't it? It's his work of grace. It's his answer. So our need is known by his command, and our need is met by our asking and seeking and knocking. And it's a great need because we had to be told it by the Son of God. Actually, it's not just the Lord Jesus Christ who commands us this, although he's the one speaking here. Who wrote the Bible? It's the Spirit of God writing it through men. So the Spirit of God is recording these words that Jesus spoke to his disciples for us. So not only Christ, but the Spirit of God is telling us, ask, seek, and knock. And not only that, but Jesus says in these words, he says, your Father knows how to give good things to them that ask him. So it's the triune God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who tells us to ask, to seek, and to knock. What a gracious God we have that he would command us in our need. Tell us, this is the way you find what you need, is by coming and asking and seeking and knocking. And notice also that these words are not just words of command, but they're words of promise. Look what he says here in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Verse 8. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Everyone. This is a huge promise. It's one thing to give us a command. It's another thing to add to that command a promise. It's like there's a twofold grace that's being given here. First, the command. You sinners, you need something. God tells us of our need. And then he promises, if you do what I've said, I'll give you all that you ask for. How many times have you asked God for something and haven't received it? Does this mean that we can ask him for anything and that he'll give it to us? Is it like a blank check, like a genie in a bottle who says, ask me three things and I'll give you whatever you ask for? Is it like that? It can't be, because we know that, for example, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked the Lord three times that it would be removed, and it wasn't removed. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. God's answer to Paul was not what he was asking for, to have the thorn removed from his flesh. But it was an answer nonetheless, and the answer God gave was the answer that he needed. So when we ask, we know this, God will give us good things. And so what we need to seek for, what we need to ask for, and what we need to knock is good things. That's what God has promised to give. It's God's goodness that he gives to us. Have you ever thought about that? If we come and we ask, what does it mean? It means that we don't have whatever we are asking for. It means that we lack something. In the very first part, as we began reading the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That means so those that have nothing. God describes his people by what they don't have. They don't have anything. They're poor in spirit, and they therefore need to ask. When we ask, we come without whatever it is we need, coming to God for all that we need. And it shows us that God is the gracious God. When we ask God for something, recognize this, that God gives us all things. He gives us breath. He gives us a heartbeat. He gives us life. He gives us food. He gives us everything. But most importantly, he gives us spiritual life. And that's what we need to ask for, life. So we want to recognize that God is gracious and so condescending in his mercy and his glory to command sinners to come to him to have their needs met. It's God's goodness that he gives to us. God the Father knows how to give good gifts to his children, and that's the reason why Jesus is so confident that when he says, if you ask, God will give, because God is good. And he even gives the example, if a son asks his father for something, have you ever had, you that have children, you know you want to give good things to your children. If they ask you for something, it's almost like at that point when they ask you, they've come to you humbly, they've come to you in need, and they're acknowledging that you're able to help them, and you want nothing more than to give them what they're asking for. You'll do all that's within your power to give them what they're asking for. And God is that kind of God, and he cares for his people, and the Lord Jesus Christ is relying on his faithfulness and his goodness in making this promise. He's promising God is going to give to his people good things. But we need to understand what it is we ask for, what it is we seek, and what shall we find when we come seeking and knocking and asking. And this is, I think, where we probably have, you know, when we read these words, we read them in the scripture, and we can superficially see, ask, seek, and knock, and we might just go on to the next verse and not wonder what it is I need, what I need to seek for, how do I seek it, how do I find it? And this is the glory of God's goodness to us, is that what we need most, we find in him the most. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. We already read in Matthew 6:33 what we're supposed to seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But look at this in Proverbs 21:21. He says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. If we follow after, that means to seek it. If we seek after righteousness and mercy, we find life, righteousness, and honor. What is it that we're to seek for? Spiritual blessings from God. What is it to seek? What do we seek for? How do we seek? And how does God give us what we seek for? Those are questions that we need to ask and we need to answer. First thing we need to realize, though, is that the Lord wants us to ask, wants us to know our need, wants us to come to him to have our needs met. Look at Psalm chapter 22, because here we see that in this song or psalm, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his God, and he's praying as one who is seeking and asking and knocking. Look what he says here in Psalm 22, verse 1. He cries out, And when he speaks these words, Jesus is on the cross. And on the cross, he prays. And he prays this prayer because when he was on the cross, why was he there? He was there because God had made him to be sin for his people. And having made him sin, God was pouring out the wrath against sin that his justice demanded. And the Lord Jesus Christ was bearing that wrath for his people. And so he prays this prayer. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When Jesus prayed this prayer, the sky went dark. And so the people knew that because this was at noontime, in the middle of the day, the sky went dark. The people knew that the sky went dark because God had taken away his light. God had made it dark, and the darkness indicated God's displeasure. And it was the Lord God himself who was pouring out his indignation, his wrath upon Jesus because of our sin. And he cries, having our sin on him, Jesus cries, when his Father removed his presence, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Jesus was forsaken, and so Jesus asked, and he sought. He was seeking for God. He lost him. Why did he lose him? It was because God forsook him. He took away his presence from him. And having lost his presence, Jesus needed nothing more than to have that presence restored. So when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what happened? God said, in the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. And when they ate, God sent them out of the garden. And first of all, God came to them in the middle of the garden, in the midst of the garden, and he walked in the garden and he spoke to them. He says, Adam, where are you? And it was then when God talked to them about their sin, and they were cast out of the garden. And so they were kicked out of the garden, and they couldn't get back in because God protected it. He protected the way to the tree of life with a cherubim, with a flaming sword guarding it. And so they lost paradise. They needed to get back. What would they do? They would ask. They would need to seek. They would need to knock. Knock, I need entrance. Seek, I don't know how to find my way back. I don't even know what I really need. God himself has to meet my need and ask, because God is the only one who could meet it. Now, when Jesus prays this prayer, he is experiencing the same forsaking by God. Sin is what separates us from God. And so he says, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. All day and night, in the night, in the darkness, in the day, the Lord Jesus Christ cried from the cross. And then he says in his prayer, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Jesus knew that because God forsook him, it was because God was holy. And he prays this so we would know that it was because God cannot look upon sin. Verse 4, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried to thee, and they were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. He's relying on God's word. God's word promised that the fathers, those who came before, they trusted in God, and he delivered them. But then he says in verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Comparing himself to them, he says, I'm less. I'm just like a worm, because God had laid the sins of his people on him. And he was laid down by them so low, it was like he was in the dirt, like a worm, so humbled by our sin. Shameful, filthy, and the guilt of it on his conscience. And he prays this way. And then he says in verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. They were mocking him. They were saying, well, he trusted God. Let God Deliver him then if he trusted in him. And Jesus says, but thou art he that took me out of the womb. Even when he was first born, he says, you brought me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast as an infant. Depending on the milk from my mother, I hoped in you. You were my hope, my only trust. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. You see how Jesus is praying here in his prayer? Entirely dependent upon God. As an infant, helpless, depending upon him. And he's thinking back about the time when he was so helpless as an infant. And he says, you saved me then. You upheld me then. And then he cries in verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. He had no one else to turn to. No one else could help him. He bore the sins of his people. Only God could deliver him. And then he goes on. He compares the people who were killing him to strong bulls. He says, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion, looking to tear him apart like a lion. That's what these people were like. And then he says, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint, and my heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. You can hurt yourself. You might hurt your foot or your toe or your arm or even your head or something like that. But when your heart is melted, you have no strength. It doesn't matter how strong you are. When you have no comfort in your heart, when you have no hope, no expectation, it says in the Proverbs, without a vision, the people perish. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is left without the comfort of his Father. And he says, my heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, like a dead dry leaf or a pod of peas is lying there in the dirt, just dried. And my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. You see what he's doing? He's pouring out his complaint, his agony here on the cross. He says, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. That's what they did to Jesus. They nailed him to the cross. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. He was without clothes. They stripped him of all that he had. They part my garments. He's hanging on the cross, dying, whipped, beaten, spit upon. His God has forsaken him. His friend betrayed him. All of his disciples had forsaken him. And the soldiers mocked him and beat him. And now they're on the ground gambling over his clothes. They part my garments among them. They cast lots for my vesture. And then here's his cry. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. You see what he's doing? He's calling out for God. O God, if everything is taken from me, all of my strength in life, all the health that I have, my friends have betrayed me, my disciples have forsaken me, and here I am beaten and mocked by the abjects, the wicked of the earth. He says, but his cry is this, be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. When trouble is at its greatest, God's grace given to us causes us to cry out, Lord, I need you. That's what prayer is. Lord, I need you. I need you. Seeking God is seeking him. And when we pray this way, we're seeking him. He says, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me. From the horns of the unicorns, that would be the altar. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And in the next three verses, look at these. He says, you that fear the Lord, praise him. All you, the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you, the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried, he heard. You see this? The promise is, when the Lord Jesus cried, what happened? God heard him. And he tells this to those that fear the Lord, because when the Lord Jesus cried, he didn't cry for himself only. He cried for his people. And he says, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Now look at these next words. I want you to focus on these. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Do you see that? They shall praise the Lord that seek him. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on the cross. He's praying to his Father because of his tremendous need. He's seeking God in prayer, pouring out his soul in agony under the affliction of God's wrath. Nothing could be greater torment to his soul than that. And in his agony, in his prayer, he looks from the cross and he foresees in the future all the desire of his soul would be met. And the desire of his soul was that his Father would be glorified in the salvation of his people. That all of God's perfections would be made known, his justice and wisdom, his grace and mercy to sinners. And not only that, but in these words, what he's saying is that untold millions will come from far, across the whole world over. And they will come out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. And they will seek the Lord. And they won't just seek him in vain, but they shall praise the Lord that seek him. That's what these words mean. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11, tells us, ask, seek, knock, he's telling us this on the basis of what he's done here on the cross, praying in this prayer. And he's saying, you ask, you seek, you knock, because I have earned from God for you an answer of grace. And that answer of grace is given to you because I was heard. Because in my agony, in bearing your sins, I was heard for you. And God answered me. In God's faithfulness, he answered me. He is my trust. He is my hope. And he's telling us, find your hope, your help, and your trust in him as well. And praise him. That's what he's saying here. So that's the way in which God answers our prayers. That's the basis on which God answers our asking, our seeking, and our knocking. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished all God gave him to do for his people. And the accomplishment was that he would save them. And the reason he did that is to the glory of his Father. And he tells his people, you rejoice. And then he thinks with great joy about the glory he would bring to his Father when all of these ungodly men and women and boys and girls from across the earth over all time would seek God's grace because of what Christ had done. And he's hanging on the cross and joy fills his heart. And he cries out at the end of his life with his last breath, it is finished. It's finished. It's done. God has heard. God has accepted him. God received his offering and God heard his prayer and God will do all that he says. So now turn back to Matthew chapter 7. And you see, here the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, I want you now ask, seek, and knock because it shall be given to you. The Son of God himself promises on the basis of the reward he earned for his people that God would give good things to those that ask him. Now, the question is, how? What is the means? What is the way in which God gives us these good things? And that's what I want you to consider with me next. We see here the basis of the answer, but what is the means? How is it the Lord answers us? And when you think of seeking the Lord, what is it that you think of? Maybe you don't even think about seeking him. And this command comes to you. Seek the Lord. It says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. In fact, let's look at that together. We'll go there first, and then I'll turn to the next text. He says in Isaiah chapter 55, look at this. And this chapter opens up. I'll read the first six verses. He says, "Ho, attention, look, ho at everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat." It's like they're in a desert place. He says, come to the waters. They have nothing to drink. Come ye, nothing to eat. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. What God is telling us to do as sinners is to come and bring nothing to pay and receive all that God is telling us here. Verse 2, "Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread?" You work and you labor and you earn money, and then you take your money out and you spend it for something that's no good. "And your labor for that which satisfieth not." Why do you do that? And then he gives the answer here. He says, this is the way sinners are. We labor in self-deception, and we waste our time, we waste our life pursuing things that are meaningless and empty and vain. And our trust is in this world, and our hope is in things that we can invent and try to bring to God, something that he will accept us by. And he says, here's what you need to do. You need to hearken diligently unto me. And in listening, that's what hearken means. It means to hear. Hear diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear. How do you delight yourself in fatness? This is how. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. Nations would run to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying, because he has glorified thee. Look at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. Seek ye the Lord. Look for him. Look for him. You don't have. You're lost. Seeking means you're looking for something. And something that you've lost. Something that you need. Something you don't know where it's at. Not only that, but it means that you don't know where, not only not where to find it, but you need help in finding it. You're seeking the Lord while he may be found. That's what we are as sinners. We're lost, we're blind, we're helpless, we can't find. And he says, while he may be found. Where is this? When is this time while he may be found? Call ye upon him while he is near. Well, that's what I want you to think about with me. How does the Lord make himself known to us? Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Because there's something here that's quite amazing. Something that is called in Scripture a very bold prophecy. He says in Romans chapter 10, in verse 11, he says, "The Scripture saith this, whoever believes on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed." Men are ashamed all the time. They might build a house, and they might build a house and build a strong foundation, and then there's a storm comes and the waters come up and rise up and destroy the house, and now they're ashamed. They're disappointed. Men put their trust in the financial markets, and then when the financial markets collapse, they're ashamed and disappointed. Men put their trust in all sorts of things, in their good works or their religious works, or their own hearts. They trust what they think is right, and they're going to be ashamed. But the Lord says here in the promise, whoever believes on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. They're all the same, all under sin. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. You see that? That's what asking is. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That means to call upon Him as He reveals Himself. His name is just a title for all that He reveals Himself to be. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what is the name He's given to Himself? Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. We call upon Him who shall save us from our sins, don't we? That's calling on the Lord. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? I was working with a man a long time ago and trying to explain the gospel to him, and he says, well, yeah, but why would I ever call on God if I don't believe on Him? I said, that's amazing that you say that. That's exactly what the Scripture says. How shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? You can't believe unless you've heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? No one can take God's message unless God sends him. And no one can believe God unless God sends His word to that man through a preacher. And he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. What is it that God sends? What's the message? It's the gospel of peace. And they that bring glad tidings of good things. And then he says this in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, listen to these words, very important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, the gospel. When Isaiah said that, it was Isaiah 53, all about what Jesus had done. And look at this next part. But I say, have they not heard? Didn't Israel hear? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, didn't Israel hear? Didn't they know? And God says, well, first Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah, listen to this, Isaiah is very bold, and he says, I was found of them that sought me not. Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus just say, if you seek me, you'll find? But Isaiah says, I was found, speaking in God's name, speaking from God's message. He says, I, the Lord, was found of them that sought me not. Why? How is this? I was made manifest to them that ask not after me. You see this? What is God saying here? It's like Isaiah has taken the laws of God's gospel that says you need to ask, seek, and knock, and he's turned them inside out and said, but I was found by those that didn't seek me. And I was made known to those that didn't ask for me. There's a few, many things are taught here. One is, what we're seeking and what we're asking for is the Lord Jesus Christ. How did He make Himself known to these Gentiles? How did He make Himself known to those who were not seeking for Him here? We just read it through the preaching of the gospel. How do we seek the Lord? We pray like Jesus prayed, but how does He tell sinners to seek Him? Hearing the gospel. We come week in and week out. We need to avail ourselves to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we hear of what Christ Jesus has done, God speaks to us. God gives us faith. God directs our hope and trust to Him. We hear how that God made Him a surety, and that God received from Him all that He required of His people. And then He received His people as if He was receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear that in the gospel, and we put our trust in Him. God has received all from His Son on my account. And now when He received His Son from the dead and heard Him from the cross, He was receiving me with Him? Yes, that's the gospel. You weren't looking for that answer, were you? You didn't know where it was. You couldn't understand it. But even though you weren't looking for what God's, the truth of the gospel, God graciously gives it to us in the preaching of His Word. And He causes us to see it and persuades us of it and causes us to lay hold and embrace it and then confess the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great God He is. I need, and what do I need? I need to be saved by His grace alone. I need Him to save me in spite of my sin. I need Him to choose me unconditionally and save me definitely and certainly. His atonement has to actually take away my sins, and His Spirit actually has to give me life and cause me to believe Him. Lord, save me. That's what we pray, calling on His name. And that's the way we seek. We seek Him when we hear the gospel, because it comes to us graciously by the sovereign hand of God, giving us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, lifting Him up before our eyes. That's what he prayed in Psalm 22. He says, "They shall praise Him that seek Him." And they seek Him when the gospel is preached. When God opens our ears, He's drawing us. "I have loved thee," he says in Jeremiah 31:3, "with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Isn't drawing the reciprocal of seeking? Isn't it the origin of our seeking? God draws us and we come. We seek Him because He calls us and draws us. Jesus says this in John chapter 6, and I know you know these words, but let me read them to you to bring them alongside. He says, John chapter 6 and verse 44, he says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." How are you going to seek Him? God has to draw us. "And I will raise him up at the last day," that one who God draws. "It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me." Seeking is the response of God drawing. God draws us through the preaching of the gospel. He makes Himself known in hearing the gospel, and He gives us faith, and faith is the receiving grace. We ask, we seek, we knock, but we don't know what we really need until it's given to us, do we? Go back to Matthew chapter 7. And so we come, "Lord, I have a great need. You have commanded me. You have promised to meet my need. You've told me. Yourself, the Son of God, has told me, and the Spirit of God has recorded it for me here for my comfort and my learning. And here the Father is lifted up to us as the one who will fill that need we have when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. And then we learn that it's on the basis of what Christ has done, and it comes to us through the preaching of the gospel. And we're told, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Our thoughts naturally go like this. I bring something to God and He accepts me for it. It's either a sacrifice or it's a prayer or it's a work that I do. It's a religious activity. It's what I think God would like. But none of that avails towards God. The sacrifices, the prayers, the work, everything that we do naturally is an abomination to God. The only thing God can receive from sinners is what He received from His Son for sinners. And that's what faith teaches us. And so when the Lord Jesus tells us to come, asking, seeking, knocking, He's telling us to come to Himself, to receive from Himself, to receive from Himself from God. And that's what we need. What a comfort this is. Now, the last thing I want to point out here is that this asking and this seeking and this knocking, when I was growing up, I assumed that this was either prayers for things. I need a job, I need to go to school, I need a truck or a car or a house or a wife, or I need to sleep, or I need food, or whatever I need. I just need to ask. And it's right to ask for everything. But we trust God to give us what He deems best. But when it comes to salvation, we think naturally that our asking and our seeking and our knocking are just a one-time thing. I was under the conviction of sin, and I asked, and the Lord answered, and that's it. And I forgot about it from that point on. But these things are ongoing. And this is where the difference is between walking by faith and what you hear naturally in this religious world. We are continually asking, seeking, and knocking. Remember what it says in Psalm 34, around verse 17? The righteous cry, and the Lord hears him. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears him. I think it's in Psalm 57. Let me read this to you. In Psalm 57, and verse 2, he says this, Be merciful unto, verse 1, he says, Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Verse 2 is what I wanted to read. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. You see? I cry to him for everything. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. He says, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Those who diligently seek him. And how do we seek him? How do we come to him? How do we come to him in this faith? We come to him with this attitude. Everything I need is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything I need from God, I receive from him. If I need to be turned from my sins, he must grant me repentance. If I need to believe on him, he must give me faith. Whatever it is, do I need to love God? He must show me that he first loved me. All these things, they come from him. Those are the spiritual blessings we need to seek. And not only that, but everything God demands of me, Christ has provided for me. That's what faith does. When we come to God and believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that's the attitude we're coming with. Lord, all I need, because that's what diligence does. Diligently seeking him teaches us that we have nothing that we need and that Christ is everything. And in diligently seeking him, we discover this. And so we come in faith and say, Lord, give me, provide for me, and give me all that I need. And then one more verse. Look at Luke chapter 11. And I'll leave you with this. Luke chapter 11. He says here in verse, the same things there. He says, verse 5. He says, And Jesus said to them, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, he's come to me, and I have nothing to give, nothing to set before him. So here a man, his friend comes to him, and he's on his travels, and he stops at his house. He doesn't have anything, so he goes to his friend's house. He says, I need help. Please give me some bread. But his friend is asleep. He goes to his friend to ask for bread, and he says, He's asleep. He from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say to you, the Lord Jesus says, Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needs. Importunity means he needs it so bad that he just keeps coming. And the shame of asking doesn't even enter his mind because his need is so great. And he just keeps coming because he will not stop until he gets what he needs. And Jesus says, I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, now that's ridiculous. What kind of a father would give his son a poisonous snake or a scorpion when he asked for food? Dad, I'm hungry. Here, have a scorpion. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children? You do, don't you? You're evil, and yet you know how to give good gifts to your children? I'd be happy to go out and work in order to give to my children that they might have. I'm happy to do that. And you're evil. How much more? Your Heavenly Father is not evil. Shall your Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. The good things are the things that come to us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself is given to us. Having the Holy Spirit, we see Christ. We have faith. We're taught what He has done. We're given hope and all the fruits of the Spirit. Everything comes to us. We know our adoption. We receive everything from God by His Spirit. And God gives us His Spirit. Ask, seek, knock. Just keep knocking. Lord, I need entrance. I need access. And He teaches us your access and your entrance is by Christ. I need to know you. You know me in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I need salvation. I need to be bought. I need to be brought. I need to be taught. It's all in Christ. Lord, I need to be delivered from my sin. And what does God teach us? He teaches us their only hope is what Christ has done. And even though sin seems to overwhelm us, and we feel like we're going to be drowned by our own wickedness, yet He points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, look at Him. Look at what He's done. See how I've received Him. See how I've promised to do everything for those to whom He's given His Son, for whom He's given. Look to Him. Receive all in Him. And in looking to Him, you know what we find? I have everything from God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's on the basis of what He did. It's our warrant to come by His command. And it's our blessed comfort to come because of Your promise. We stand upon Your goodness, Father. We come because of Your grace in Christ. We know, Lord, that what we need is these spiritual blessings. Having the Lord Jesus, we know we have all things. You've taught us this. When we weren't looking for Him, You preached Him to us. You convinced us. You persuaded us. Caused us to embrace Him and confess that He's our all. Lord, teach us this over and over and over again. Help us to never tire of coming and asking and seeking and knocking. Help us to always know that it's Your greatness of grace and goodness that gives to us all things. Even the command to come and seek and find are gracious commands from You. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.